This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
This is In The Conversation, man. We celebrated 10 years in the wild, a decade of dominance, a decade of independence. We celebrating famous little people. And when you get famous, don't forget the little people. In The Conversation.
Time for the In The Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In The Conversation.
Yes, yes.
This is Damian Lemon.
Uh-huh.
You know, on my right-hand side. That man is not there. Would be Vladimir Camaño. That man is still in L.A., shooting his debut sitcom. But I will say this, I said that to say this, if you are in the Los Angeles area, check it out. You could actually go to the tape. It is taping on Thursday, so tomorrow he's gonna be filming that pilot, and there's tickets available. Go to the In The Conversation Facebook page. There's a link there. You could check that out.
No doubt.
But as we move over here to my left hand side,
yes, yes, y'all,
I got
Ali Muhammad in this. Nah, man.
Okay. Scaled it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I didn't want to come out too crazy.
Okay, well, shit. Not that I done said shit. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, they already done called me out for saying shit a lot.
Is that what they do? I haven't seen this.
Somebody said, Ali said shit about 30 times.
Oh, man, they paying attention, man. Shout out to the listeners.
No doubt.
Shout out to the listeners. Shout out to the commenters.
No doubt.
With the opinions. You know what I mean? I like that y'all be, you know, keeping the conversation going.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, you know?
Yeah.
Keep the conversation going. They getting in the conversation.
They in the conversation. They answering. They talking about the champ. We was talking about the champ. We had a little bit of champ talk. Somebody agreed with your vouv.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had some on deck. My man had it on deck.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw something like
that. Yeah, like, shit, it's on deck right now.
That's crazy, man.
Shit, I'm about to pop something this weekend.
Yeah?
Celebration.
Oh, yeah, 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 you know yeah. Well, hold on. Before you do that, let me just shout some people out, and I'm going to get right back to you.
We're going to hold that cork, yeah.
I just want to shout out everybody that came out to Stand Up Scottsdale. It was a good time, man. We had some listeners, some in the conversationalists. Come through, you know what I mean? Show love. That was cool. Had a couple of repeat offenders, people that had been there since the last time I was there. That was dope. You know, it was a good time, man. Shout out to the whole Stand Up Scottsdale, Howard Hughes, this cat, Andrew. I can't think of Andrew's last name. I think it's Adelette. I forget. My bad, Andrew. He was featuring for me, my man, Mike Turner. You know what I mean? We had a good time out there. Shout out to DC.
What you do out there?
What did I do out there, man? I'm going to keep it funky with you. It ain't a whole lot to do, Miss Scottsdale. You know what I mean? I did a whole lot of walking around. Like, it's not, I mean, it's about day drinking. Oh, yeah, that's a day drinking city.
Why?
Because it ain't nothing to do out there. It's just
day drinking what?
They day drink. It's a lot of, like, what's the vibe in Scottsdale? Scottsdale is very much Arizona, but definitely Scottsdale is very much about retreating and relaxing, a lot of spa lifestyle, by the pool, a lot of eating, you know, I guess brunching, but it's not really brunching, it's about day drinking. Go to this pool, and we're going to have drinks, and we just going to keep getting drunk until it's time to go go to somewhere that's open to get drunk. We'll go from the pool to the club, but it's like, it's a lot of people out there. It's kind of a wealthy city, so it's a lot of older people out there, too. It's interesting.
A lot of people do go out there to spa.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, the tone of the thing. It's very take it easy out there. And being from New York, every time I go anywhere, I just try to explore, find out what's going on, what's the deal, and it's the tone out there is, man, just relax. Yeah, take it easy. I'm out there walking because, you know, it's a driving city. And I'm, you know, it's like I'm not jumping in an Uber to go right down the block. I walk right down. I walk the block. Let me see. I like to explore. Let me see what this is about. There's flat streets and palm trees and heat, you know. It was cool, though. You know, I had a good time. We, you know, bugged out on stage, had fun with the people. You know, they definitely come out. They come out to laugh and have a good time. But, you know, that's about all I did out there. And I'm trying to think. Went to Old Scottsdale. I mean, you know, it's like, it wasn't much going on. I'm really trying to, you know, I was really trying to make something happen out there. Not much really went down, you know. Last time I went to Top Golf, which is like a driving range with some day drinking. It's get drunk and hit golf balls.
Man, get into this day drinking, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah, nah, I'm not a day drinker no more. First of all, with that heat, you need to be careful.
Right.
Cause that, and then if you a walk around cat like myself, you get day drunk and then try to walk back to the it could be a terrible situation. You know what I mean? It's just
day drinking, you go hard like that?
Day drinking, cause you get caught up in the drunk and you don't, and it's something about just like these day parties, it's something about being turned up and then looking at your watch and being like, my man, it's only 4 o'clock.
Right.
You are twisted and you are finished by 7 p.m. You ready to go to sleep?
I don't think my mind let me go too hard in the daytime except for
Miami or somewhere.
When we was at FAM, they had this one party at this spot called Faces.
Okay.
And Faces was a little hole in the wall type of joint, but it was like right down the street from campus, right down the hill.
Yeah.
And and it was famous. It was like an older place. So like when you're a freshman or a sophomore, you'll just hear all the older cats going to Faces. You don't really get it.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to like junior, senior year, you part of that and you all the way in.
It's a whole different culture.
It's you all the way in. Like so basically Friday, when you come to school Friday, if you got afternoon classes like I did, I never really dealt with the morning classes.
This guy.
You know what I'm saying?
You talking about as a junior or never in college?
No, just as a, like never in college, really. I had some morning classes, but I had more of the afternoon track.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like some classes, they only give you an offer it in the morning.
Right.
So you had to fuck with it. But other than that, I'm trying to deal with the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I'll finish up by 5.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, you come to campus dressed, ready to go to the happy hour.
To the club.
So you go there.
As opposed to coming through in pajamas and sweats, which is a whole nother college lifestyle.
Yeah, nah. You come ready.
Okay.
You come ready. Because, you know what I'm saying, you had to kind of dress up to go to this spot.
Right.
And then 5 o'clock, they opened up, like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It might have been 4:30, some shit. So you leave straight off the yard. Man, you go up in there, man. They made the drink so damn strong and potent.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 for 1.
Mm.
So by 6 o'clock, you twisted.
What you drinking? What's the drink?
Whatever, blue iced teas, Long Island iced teas.
Which is nothing but rum and vodka and all.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a beer situation because, you know what I'm saying, you want to get the 2 for 1, so you going for the gusto.
It's like a booze cruise.
Exactly.
Okay.
So by 6 o'clock, everybody in that bitch is
turned.
Twisted and turned, and you know what I'm saying? It's Florida, so you already know what the dance situation is all about.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Then you got the people who come in, a second wave that come in right about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got that 5, you done.
Yeah, it's over.
You done. You like, I'm out of this bitch.
It's too much. That's what I'm saying.
I'm out this bitch.
It's a different type of planning for that.
You know what I mean? You plan to go there to be twisted by 8
Exactly.
O'clock.
And then you also got to tie in the fact that when you in college, it's also about a deal. It's also about getting as drunk as you can for as little spent. You like, yo, I'm fucked up off of $20.
Exactly.
I'm done.
And that's what it was all about at Face. They knew it too.
Mm-hmm.
They had that shit going.
Yeah.
That was like a rite of passage going to Faces.
Oh, Faces. Interesting. So anyway, man, I definitely speaking about, I guess, drunk celebrations or just celebration. I shut you down when you was about to pop your cork.
You didn't shut me down.
What you celebrate?
Popping off.
Oh, okay. Pause. What are you celebrating though?
Oh, man.
That was crazy.
Oh, man, I'm celebrating, man. 10 years of being on my own, entrepreneurship, no job, no boss.
Ah, shit. Round of applause.
Nah, man. Yeah, man, out here
shit.
Saying that shit like it was easy. That shit wasn't easy.
Did a
that
decade, shit ain't though. Easy. Talk to the people.
You know what I'm saying? You know.
What have you learned?
Shit. You learn to be ready for anything. You know what I'm saying? You learn, you know what I'm saying? You got a plan, but you learn that a lot of times that plan don't work out how you want.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And you had to be free. You had to be flexible enough to adjust and switch. You know what I'm saying? And over time, you get it. You know what I'm saying? You get it. You go in with your plan. But, like, now I'm able to switch and move and adapt and move and groove. And, you know what I'm saying? I move a lot faster than I used to. You know what I'm saying? Cause in the beginning, because you're thinking a lot. You're thinking, like, this is what I want to do. This is my vision and shit.
Mm-hmm. And being precious, you know, about the moves.
Yeah, you go out there and you know what I'm saying? You pushing your issue. And if it don't work, you know what I'm saying? It take you a longer time to regroup because mm-hmm. you put all your energy into this is how it's going to be and this is how I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't always how it go.
How'd you learn that? What was the first?
Shit, you get punched in the motherfucking face. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You lose a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You come up in situations where shit, you know what I'm saying? You put a lot of money into something you thought it was going to go one way and that shit don't go that way. And you lose a lot of money, you was like, shit, nigga.
What was the worst and best experience of these last 10 years being independent?
The worst. The worst is losing a lot of money. So, you know, I jumped out. I started the magazine, 21st Century Hustle.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we put a lot into it. And you know, we came into a situation where we spent a lot of money on an issue that wasn't, that I agreed with somebody that it wasn't going to come out because of some legal things that was going on. And that somebody, the agreement was, okay, we don't put it out, you know what I'm saying? I pay you for the loss and shit, you know what I'm saying? We keep it moving. So then—
Oh, they didn't want the person—
I had somebody on the cover that was in a situation where he had never told his story. It was, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it was a big story for us. And— his partner had got cased up in some like old dope situation, the dope charge.
Okay.
And it was one of his homeboys, you know what I'm saying? Probably one of his partners, you know what I'm saying? I don't know the extent of the relationship, but he had just got cased up. And so he was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? It ain't a real good time for me to be on the cover of a magazine, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's a lot going on. So I'm like, you know, I feel you.
But I'm saying,
I'm like 25,000 in.
This,
like,
is already, it's been pressed up, printed, and all of that.
I'm it's at the printer now. Oof.
And it's,
I'm at the printer now. So I got t-shirts and shit with the shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm all out in Vegas, right. All-star.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? We had a conversation, like, you know what I'm saying? He like, you know, get back, let's meet up. You know what I'm saying? I take care of you, make it, blah, blah, blah. Woo, woo, woo. So, okay. While I was out there, you know what I'm saying, I made a pivot because I seen somebody and I arranged another cover.
Yeah.
So, all right, boom, all we got to do is kind of like switch the cover and change the theme a little bit. So, you know, I found somebody else I could do a cover on, so I started spending money doing that cover.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're doing the math. It's like I'm 25 in on the other issue.
Even now, if it hadn't printed?
Nah, but it's at the printer now. You can't take it off the press.
But I thought you were doing an audible with the printer, no?
I'm doing an audible with the cover. That's only 4 pages.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm okay. So
but you got to do another shoot. Shoot costs money.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I'm saying? So now you got to do another shoot. You got to write another story. You got to pay another writer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to do
a lot of costs.
Yeah. So that's, you know, it's another, you know what I'm saying, $3,000 that you putting out.
Right.
So now you at about 28.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so we're supposed to meet up, okay, nigga, take care of the 25. You know, it ain't go like that.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't go like that at the time. I mean, over time, it finally did happen, but it was months later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's the worst.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Shit.
So, you know, that was lesson one, you know what I'm saying? You know, shit, you know. Keep your friends and your business completely separated.
Mm.
As far as that's concerned, or not just, you know, I don't feel like I made the wrong decision. I just felt like, you know what I'm saying, I enforced the decision too early.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it wasn't going to happen at that time, I should have just pulled the trigger on going with it.
Going with the cased up cat?
Yeah, if you want to handle that side of the business, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, you didn't know that.
Right.
You didn't know that the cat was, so you felt like you kind of put yourself out there, protected somebody.
And not protected myself.
Yeah, damn. So that was a good lesson to learn. Yeah, it was an expensive lesson.
There was an expensive lesson that you learned early, but you know what I'm saying? It's very expensive, which, you know what I'm saying, put you in a bad place with the distributor, put you in a bad place with the printer, put you in a bad place with the shipping. Because now, you know what I'm saying, all this shit it's go together.
Right.
So, boom, we pivoted off that, you know what I'm saying, and moved in other directions. But, you know what I'm saying, the best part about the whole shit was figuring out the problems, you know what I'm saying? So when you do get in a situation like that, you know, your first inclination is to be like, oh, shit, it's all over. The sky's falling. I'm going to just die right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I fucked up everything. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? My wife going to leave me. You know what I'm saying? This is your conversation is like, I done fucked everything up.
Yeah. How do you spin out of that?
You know what I'm saying? So really, you know what I'm saying? You had to do the proverbial slap yourself in the face. Like, you know, snap out this shit, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a problem. You
right.
got to fix it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So now it becomes math. You know what I'm saying? It becomes math is life. Like, you working with an equation. Like, okay, this variable right here didn't work. You know what I'm saying? Let me try something else in that variable. So you trying to get to the end result. And the best part is once you start figuring it out and that shit start working.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay, shit. If this happens, shit, all you got to woo, woo, woo. And put that there, and you know what I'm saying? And, you know, once you start learning, the rhythm of the business and the rhythm of how you get your money,
because
mm-hmm. it ain't like where you got a job description and somebody tell you do this and you
right.
make your money. You got to figure out, okay, how you going to get it? You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? So in the beginning, you know, you chasing. After the magazine, we switched to, we switched to other things. You chasing big shit, you know what I'm saying? Because that's, you used to doing deals. So you're like, okay, I'm going to do big deals.
Mm-hmm.
And while you doing them, then you start to realize, oh, shit, you could do big deals mm-hmm. and be broke as fuck.
Yeah.
Because big deals take longer to finish and take longer to pay.
And it's probably more that you're putting out.
And you're spending more time on them. So... Why you know what I'm saying? I found it, you know what I'm saying? I call it the T-Mobile theory and shit, where I found myself in a situation where I got $50,000 in invoices out and $20 in the bank and 2 days before the T-Mobile going to get shut down.
Damn. The T-Mobile theory.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit become a theory when it gets scary.
You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. So man. You got $200, you got to pay T-Mobile $200, you uh-huh. got $20 and $50,000 due. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I started thinking to myself, I'm doing this wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because I used to, when you in the wild, you finding these different places to work at. And my homeboy, he had a coffee shop. And I could see him every day. He might not make a lot of money, but every day he gave himself a chance anytime he opened
right.
the door to make money.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, shit, man, I don't have nothing where I could, just do today and get $200.
As you call the daily bread.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have no daily bread plan. You know what I'm saying? I got big plans. I got I got deals out there.
Right.
And I got no daily bread plan. So that's what I just worked on. Like, okay, that's how we ended up getting on to the production side of doing the video.
Mm-hmm.
Because while we was doing branded content and you got big deals out there, you had this equipment that you could make daily bread with just by doing the production company. And once that got going, you realize, you don't turn your nose down that shit. You know what I mean? You might not do certain things, but... Shit, if you got 500 here, 700 mm-hmm. there, 1,200 here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That shit add up. At the end of the month, you like, oh, shit. I ain't sweating the corporate people with the 60-day wait.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because your daily shit is being, taken care of with these, smaller deals.
You learned how to adapt in the wild.
In the wild.
It's like being a house cat and then going into the wild. You got to start
your ass out in
killing
the
shit. Yeah.
You got to start killing shit. And you look like prey today.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to understand, you got to eat and you can't always wait to eat.
Yeah. I eat now.
You gotta eat now.
Immediately.
So, and then you can't force people to pay you quicker than the system allows them to pay you. You might get it off a couple times, but that's not gonna work every time. You're not gonna be able to force the big ad agency to pay you on, you know what I'm saying, right now, up front.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because I still want to get to what was your best part of this.
Okay.
But I want to ask you this.
Go ahead.
Oh, that was the figuring it out?
Yeah.
But okay, now I just want to ask, now, at what point and how do you avoid feeling desperate out there? Because, you know, shit is looking crazy and it don't look like, you know, you have legitimate concerns, financial concerns, but you still got to go to market with a poker face.
With your chest out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? That's when you have to rely on who you know you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Like, talk about that.
Like, I know myself to win. I know myself to do deals. I know myself to get out there and be able to make moves and, you know what I'm saying, and make shit happen. I can make magic. I know that. So when you get in the situation, you might feel like picking up that phone like, hey, man, can you go ahead and send me that money, man?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you rely on the fact that, okay, I know I could win. You know what I'm saying? Let me get on this horn and make some moves. You know what I'm saying? Let me, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the shit is beyond your control. You know what I'm saying? That shit be in God's hands. You know, sometimes you might get down to the wire and just like, you know what? Let me take a walk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some of you just follow your instinct. I'm going to take a walk. Because one time I was down to the low, and I was like, man, let me take this walk, man. I just walked outside. I'm walking through the sty, and I ran into a couple of people that I knew. They was, her and her sister was riding their bikes through Bed-Stuy. They didn't really live in Bed-Stuy. They're like, oh, what up? Sat and talked, and was talking through something, and they were like, oh, you know what? I might need you on something.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And boom, I closed a little Citibank deal right there just off a walk.
Just
being outside. You know what I'm saying?
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Take like, a walk, son.
Take a walk, man. You know what I mean?
Let's go get this money.
And boom, when it show up, you know.
Yeah.
You know when it
absolutely.
Show up. So you just gotta have your game on point that when it show up, you ready to take advantage on it. You know, when the prey come peeking out the damn brush, you know how the motherfucking jump over there and
spear that shit.
Claw that shit to death.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
So the best time of 10 years was what?
The best
moment.
The best moment is now. You know what I'm saying? Where shit is working. You know what I'm saying? You in a good place. And a lot of times I felt like, you know, sometimes you might have an idea, and then you might be a little early on the idea because the shit ain't really there. You just idealistic about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the business not really there yet. Like right now with what we're doing, I feel like the business is here. Like the shit has gotten to a point where digital content is the play, where you see all these different companies investing in it. CNN just put $20 million in it. Vice just got a $100 million valuation. Warner Brothers just gave LeBron Bleacher Report?
He owns Bleacher Report?
No. They got a little channel. I think it's Bleacher Report. But they have a channel that they gave, Warner Brothers gave LeBron and Bleacher Report $15 million to create this channel, just digital content of NBA players, of athletes, you know what I'm saying, without having to go through the media. They just doing their own content, speaking their things. It's called Unfiltered or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just digital content is the play right now.
Right.
And we right here, and it's a good time, you know what I'm saying? And that's the best, because we ain't never been like that. It's always been like you either ahead or late. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Either too early or damn, that shit already crowded.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like right now, we've been in it long enough and the shit is coming to kind of full culmination and we right there, we prepared, we know what to do.
Your shop has been set up, so you good.
Shop is set up and the system is going. So that's the best shit when you figure out a problem, shit you see in your head start to come together and you in position to take advantage of it. That's what I think it is, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, out of all of it, man, you realize that the only thing that bring you down, the only thing that slows you up, brings you down, stops you from getting it is fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Real talk.
Any situation that I found myself in where it was a problem, it was a problem because of fear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you lose that kind of money, oh, you're out your own motherfucking pocket and shit ain't going your way.
You scared to go in your pocket.
You like, ah, damn.
Get your hand off my.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, real.
I can't, man. Shit, I don't know, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the fear feels so real, but it's fear.
Yes.
Yeah, and perspective is on the other side of that action. If you just face the anxiety and go through that fear, you'll turn around and look at, damn, I was afraid. You know, it's a different, but it's you could only get that by facing your fear and going through it. Right. And that perspective is so crystal.
Right.
That you almost feel ridiculous. Like, goddamn, I was scared as fuck.
You was tripping.
Yeah.
You was tripping, player.
Yeah, man. They don't tell you that shit.
Nah,
it's
but
scary the whole way.
Yeah, it's every day could be.
Hell yeah.
Every day is a win or a motherfucking catastrophe.
Yeah. But I think that's the great win is too, learning how to deal with the catastrophe. Learning how to keep, like, just how to be clutch and how to stay cool and not to fucking melt down, know, when it's. When it's looking,
because see the thing is that
panicky.
The thing is that when you got in my situation, you got the real CEO, your wife looking at you, and then the three kids is hungry, and then I'm saying they got questions, and you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
you got to be able to be cool under that pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Get your Barack Obama on.
You got to be all the way. You got to be have your State of the Union address ready at on tap,
because
they might call that shit in at any night.
Can't get ruffled by no questions.
You know what I'm saying?
Good question. Let me explain.
You know what I'm saying? Can we talk? You got to have your State of the Union ready to go.
Your talking points on deck.
Because your fear, everybody feels your fear. If you got the fear, they going to feel that shit and they going to know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They going to respond. So the biggest thing is to be able to stand strong through that shit. And if you do have any kind of fear, that shit is after everybody go to bed. You walking around pacing the motherfucking floor like, shit,
hilarious.
What the fuck we gonna do? You know what I'm saying? But if you out there, you know what I'm saying, you thinking about doing this shit, you know what I'm saying? The first step is to overcome the fear of leaving a comfortable situation.
Be ready to be uncomfortable. I always tell people that. Be ready to be uncomfortable for a bit.
Because the first part of it going to feel real great after you make the first step. It's going to feel good. It's going to be like, shit, I did it. Fuck all y'all motherfuckers. I'm about to get it out here.
You're going to get all that love. Look at you.
You know what I'm saying?
Living your dream. Doing your thing.
Then that second wave of bills after your savings is gone.
Oof.
The second wave of bills come.
I ain't realized the rent was so high.
God damn.
Shit.
What you want for the electric bill is how much? Shit. Never paid that no attention.
Yeah.
What really gets you out here in these streets, though, be lunch. When you first starting and you don't really have your system together. And, you know, you know when you got a job, you're trying to
still have a T&E lunch.
Yeah, you still trying to have lunch. Like, you hungry. You out in the motherfucking streets. You got to eat.
You got to eat before you leave.
Shit. Okay. Two months after you start looking at your shit after 2 months of eating lunch in the wild.
Yeah.
You like, fuck.
Go buy you some cereal. Some milk. Be good to the motherfucker before you leave the house.
That lunch budget will get you in the beginning.
Get your ramen game together. Oh, man. Lunch is a luxury, dog. Lunch and cabs. You know what I mean? For a while, when I was struggling, I was like, listen, if you see me in the back of a cab, that's like the equivalent of seeing me in the back of an ambulance. It was a fucking problem. Something. It was a disaster.
You had to get there.
This shit is expensive. But it's beautiful, man. You got to...
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, man, a decade.
I appreciate that,
man. That's big, man. That's big.
Appreciate it.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Hey guys, it's Jeremy Roenick here. Are you a hockey fan? Do you like interviews with some of the biggest names in sports? Then we are the podcast for you. It's the Roenick Life Podcast with J.R. and Jaffe. Join me and Billy Jaffe each week as we give you our takes and opinions on the NHL and just about everything else in between. We'll talk hockey a lot, but we even may dip into other sports, politics, and entertainment. Nothing is off limits. It's Ronick Life Podcast with JR and Jaffe. New episodes publish every Tuesday morning. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and we are now on Spotify. Don't miss it.
Speaking of calm under pressure, though, did you see that fucking Villanova game?
Shit, man. I almost forgot about it, but I did catch that second half.
Oh, word? I totally forgot about it. I got on YouTube.
I got to working and shit, and then somebody texted me like, yo, you watching this game? I'm like, oh, shit.
I heard it was one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah, I was glad I caught it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That shit was dope. I thought, you know what I'm saying, for a second, I thought Villanova was about to run away.
And then UNC came back, huh?
Go to the kitchen for a few minutes, and then shit, that shit back up. They back down just by two. Mm. I'm like, oh, shit, they going to make a run out of this.
I seen they had Michael Jordan about his seat.
Jordan, you know, he was rooting.
Of course. You know what I'm saying? Never see him really get too committed to it. Anything outside of Jordan type shit.
No doubt.
Yeah, he was there.
Front. He don't even usually be in the crowd like that. He disappeared in a box.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
just set himself up for the Jordan meme onslaught. Great positioning.
So my man caught the ill buzzer beater at the end.
Yeah. So first, you know what I'm saying, North Carolina came down,
caught a mean one,
and
too,
caught right? a mean. You know what I'm saying? 4 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
3-pointer, double clutch, double pump clutch.
Right.
Shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That he probably couldn't do again if he tried ever in life.
Yeah. He did it when he needed to do it,
he
though.
He did that shit. Like, he needed that shit.
Then the other cat, Jenkins.
Yeah.
Hit the dagger.
Yeah. But the crazy part about his shit is, first of all, I haven't been following college basketball this year. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about none of the players.
I know none of that.
I ain't know nothing about Chris Jenkins. I know him now. But when you see him running down the court, he almost looked like a fat boy.
They call him. He said he was too fat for the team. They call him the fat guy on the team. You know what I'm saying? I read about that.
He looked like a cat that was at the park.
Like an old Robert Traylor. Remember Robert Traylor in Michigan?
Nah.
Remember Robert Traylor? He was a big man. I think they used to call him like truck or some shit like that. Right. He was kind of fat with it. But back in the day, the fat cat always had the wicked jump shot because they not running.
But at the park, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Not at, you know what I'm saying, NCAA, you know what I'm saying, championship.
Yeah.
So I thought he was like a big forward or something. When I see him calling for the ball, I'm like, what the fuck he calling for the ball?
Yeah.
I don't know nothing.
Uh-huh.
My man smooth step right into that shit. He didn't even get excited. He was just...
It's just
hit that shit like, yeah, man.
Everyday shit.
That's what I do. And then when you see all the after conversation.
He known for that. I'm
like,
right there.
Like, that's his shot.
That's what the fucked up thing about that, though. There's a couple different things. We're going to talk about that whole shit. The interesting thing about it, first of all, I was in the barbershop, and there's a shout out to my man Coach. This one cat. He coaches all of the a lot of the high school players, and you know, up in Harlem and the Bronx. Okay. He's been in the game forever, so he's a coach. Love that shit. He got that sports passion.
Right.
So we go up and he's talking about the whole shit. First of all, he's talking about how UNC's defense just collapsed.
Right.
Like the dude, they didn't make him pivot or nothing. He basically walked the ball up. Straight up the middle of the court.
Right.
And then pulled a little screen when he passed it to Jenkins.
Right.
And everybody know Jenkins is money behind the arc. And nobody was there. I think what he was saying was a lot of people, that team probably was playing for overtime because they figured it couldn't have.
Well, they probably was playing for the two because they didn't need a three. They only needed a bet. They only needed to make a shot. So they probably was getting back to prevent a lob or, you know what I'm saying?
Because it was somebody under the bucket.
Right. So they probably was getting back for the lob, and he kind of trailed behind. He's trying to kind of trail back.
Right.
And then step right into that shit.
Yeah, that shit was lit. And then the other thing was, there's like video of the coach, of Villanova's coach. They was like, Villanova's coach was cool as hell. Like, after Chris shot, the ball is still in the air. Mm-hmm. The Villanova coach, if you watch the replay, the Villanova coach turns and starts to walk over to the bench basically to say, yo, good game, but we had the body, y'all. Like, that, it was that clutch.
Right.
That's bananas.
He probably know. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's that right there. That's, yeah. That's money right there. I see it. I see that.
Let me ask you this. Is the three-pointer hotter than the dunk right now? I feel like it is.
Steph Curry done came and changed the game.
Yeah, I was going to sorry to jump in there, but I was watching a I don't watch basketball, really. I don't really pay attention.
Me neither, brother.
But I'm watching a it's like a 3-minute clip of Steph Curry hitting 10 three-pointers in one game, including the game winner in overtime, and it's like, man, that looks cool watching him do that.
It's bananas.
Yeah, Steph changed the whole game, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely changed the game,
you know. So, I mean, even the kids, like the younger kids now, it's still it's translated down to where, you know, even AAU high school ball, the crowd want to see the three.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the three got so much suspense to it.
Right. And you know who else made it popping, who got it going, though?
Who?
KD.
Okay, KD. Yeah, he got a nice jumper.
KD three, when he came to New York and he hit them 63 points, all of them was.
Yeah.
And so every time he went to put up the ball, she was like, oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, KD had got it going because he had a smooth little three, but that Steph Curry shit is like magic. That ain't like a fucking three ninja.
I feel like the dunk, they don't even cover that no more. the three used to be the white man shot.
Right.
That was a good Stockton, Larry Bird, you know. Now that shit is that. But it's always had some flair to it. It's always, because again, it's the drama of if it's going to drop or not. You got that at least 1 or 2 seconds of that shit, especially if you somebody that do the three and your shit got a high arc. Mm-hmm. It's in the, like, you could watch the whole crowd's head, like, follow the ball. And if it's a buzzer beater, it don't get no more dramatic than that. And then
I don't think the dunk, you know, they have done different dunks. Like, in the wild, they have innovated the dunk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the competition dunks and stuff like that. But in a game, you know, the dunk really hasn't been innovated. Like, Jordan broke the mold on dunking because the way he made this shit look.
It looked so effortless.
You know what I'm saying? That shit looked so smooth. You know, he just changed the whole dunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole air take flight shit became a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now you're still back to just slamming hard, just, or, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Like, and then Steph come with that, you know, he just make the shit look so sweet. You shoot that bitch from anywhere.
Just running.
I don't even hardly remember seeing his balls hit the rim. You know what I'm saying? Just,
yeah, that's crazy. Like, won that statement in the truth.
I'm not talking about, you know, man. You know, I already know what the fuck I'm talking about, man. I'm a grown ass man. I ain't got to be taking my words back and all that shit. You a young buck, you know what I mean? Nigga, balls don't hit the rim, okay?
Say it again. Anyway, man. So let me. So this is something I saw, though. Set up the Stay Woke Challenge.
Oh. What we got this week?
So the Stay Woke Challenge for this week, man. So Chris Jenkins made that buzzer beater, right? Money. Now,
put the game in folklore of NCAA basketball.
As I said, I didn't watch the game. I was out. I was performing, so I didn't even get to catch it in real time. So I came to the aftermath and got into it. But when I went on the good internet, went to New York Times, NewYorkTimes.com, and I saw that the story that they were doing was, before the shot came the pass.
And that shit wasn't even no good pass.
It was a regular ass pass.
That shit was a dump off. It was almost like a pitch, a football pitch.
It was a flea flicker. But, dude, there's at least 1,500 words on NewYorkTimes.com saying, before Chris Jenkins shot, there was Ryan Archidakonos, the white guy, his pass. and there's a huge story about this shit. And it's like, come on, this is a reach.
I think they had the damn story about the kid already prepped up because he's supposed to be good or whatever.
Supposed to be good. He's a senior. Well, right. This is the thing. They saying, as a senior, this is the last game as a senior,
right.
Typically you supposed to take the shot. That's just off of GP. Most 9 times out of 10, a senior say, fuck it, it's my last attempt. I'm going to take it for better or worse. Also, to give you some context, and to go back to your thing about fear, it's something we could also discuss. in the huddle, the lead scorer of the team, who's like supposedly very imposing, 6'11", he's very, you know, he's the authority of the team. Mm-hmm. He told Art, she was like, yo, you better take that shot. You taking that shot. Don't pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Arch felt like shit.
Arch know my man is money. He know you don't get in that situation and pass the ball to non-money.
Do you just think that he also knew he was going to get some coverage at the times either way? Just because.
White privilege.
Just white privilege. Like, listen, man, let me go ahead and help this young minority kid out, help him buy.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I'm joking.
Well, you know, because that was the other story to where Chris Jenkins was basically, his mother let him live with another family. They officially adopted him. And his brother from that family plays for North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So they were playing at the same time. You know.
Somebody got to go.
So the mama there with, you know, both day jersey on, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like his, you know, her real son on the front, her adopted son on the back, like, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So when they talked to the brother after the fact, you know what I'm saying, he was like, you know, it hurts more that it was him, you know what I'm saying? It was going to hurt, but, you know what I'm saying, now I got to hear about this, you know, forever, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, the shot that he got, that's like a layup for him.
That's
he
his was shot
like,
you know, all he, day.
That's him, yeah. All day. So, you know, in the story that the New York Times wrote, and they were saying that he was calling for the ball. He was calling for it. Mm-hmm. And you could see him running down the court. I don't see how nobody from North Carolina got on him because he calling for the ball.
That's what Coach said.
All the way down the court.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess he said something to the effect of, man, you already know.
Yeah. Easy.
And you knew it was easy by the way he reacted. He ain't smile. He ain't jump up and down.
Light work.
Man, he was like, yeah, I thought y'all already knew what this was.
This is all day, every day. This is the longest I've talked about sports when I really don't fuck with sports like that. But it was it's the drama of it. I liked it. It was a cool little moment.
Just
man.
Negated our whole conversation.
Nah, I didn't negate it. I'm just.
There's people out there listening to this that was into that story.
No day. No, listen, I appreciate your investment. And we appreciate that.
So what you want to talk about?
Man, I'm chilling. You told me you read it. This is what I want to talk about. You told me you had a celebrity encounter on the train. So what happened? Who'd you run into?
I ran into my man, Tyrion Lannister. From Game of Thrones.
You're going to have to explain that for people that don't watch Game of Thrones.
I don't know his real name. Peter, what's his real name?
Peter Dinklage, yeah.
Dinklage.
The little person.
The little man from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Who be, you know what I'm saying, he be getting all the chicks in the show.
Yeah, I heard he's a beast on the show.
He killing shit out there.
Really?
So I'm in a train station, right?
Ali Muhammad, celebrity encounter.
Celebrity encounter.
Let's see how this one goes. So go ahead.
So I'm in the train station and shit, and I was meeting my wife. And so I see a little person getting on the train with a little girl. And I can't see.
With a little person girl?
No, with a little girl, like his daughter.
Okay.
And and I can't see his face. Uh-huh. But, you know, you see a little person in their head. I was like, man, that looked like Tyrion Lannister. I'm telling my wife that shit.
Said about every other little person in the game. But go ahead,
no,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying. I was like, that looked like
Tyrion. From the back, you see it. It was like, that looked like the guy from Game of Thrones. Shit!
And for real.
Go ahead.
So then. So he sit down. I get in. I turn the corner in the train, and I sit down, and I'm right in front of him. I'm like, oh shit, that is motherfucking Tyrion.
See, I sitting across from each other.
Straight across from each other. So uh-huh. I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying. Uh-huh. So I'm waiting for him, you know, to give me the eye contact and shit, so I could, you know, give him the shout.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying. You know, he avoided it for a second, but then he look up. You know what I'm saying. And I give him, you know what I'm saying. I give him the thumbs up and shit.
Uh huh. What happened?
Man, that man like, man, I ain't got time for this bullshit.
The nigga didn't even acknowledge your thumbs up?
He saw it.
He looked at your thumb and did what? He's like, all right.
Turned his head and did, you know, did some shit with his daughter.
Damn it. Now, this makes you owe it to a celebrity encounter.
Nah, I mean, I got plenty of good celebrity stories, okay, man, but this fresh.
So I'm about to start questioning your approach now.
Nah, man, you know my track record, player.
This cat is out here menacing.
You know my track record.
I got a question.
But, you know what I'm saying, he was with his daughter. You know what I'm saying? So, he was looked like he was having a little backpack situation. Right. You know what I'm saying?
He could have at least acknowledged the thumbs up. A thumbs up ain't that intrusive.
He might have gave it with a kind of like a little eye roll type of.
Oh, he hit you with the eye roll.
I'm
tired of this.
Like, I'm about sick of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, I was going to snap his ass out of spite.
Don't fuck with that one.
But I was like,
the Cat Williams situation.
I ain't want to disrespect this kid, no shit like that. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna leave him alone.
Let him live.
By this day, man.
Oh shit.
Got off in Brooklyn.
Now my thing is, I wonder, is being famous for a little person redundant? Because they already like motherfuckers is already like looking at them all in the face and shit.
All the time.
Like there's always this old glee or this like weird fascination with just their presence.
Right.
Now you faint, you know what I mean? Like maybe he been through with this shit for years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's just
trying to work.
Yeah.
Take care.
Trying to stay cool.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm still fuck with him on the Game of Thrones and shit, man. You know what I'm saying? But, I just won't holler at him no more in the real life.
Funny thing is, I know you said Spike did some wild shit to you, too. I was listening to a podcast.
But with Spike, he a brother.
No.
I guess he is a little person, too, though.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? I might have a thing with the little people.
Maybe you're just too imposing.
I'm too tall and shit.
You were seated with the... With the train situation, who knows?
I don't know, man.
I
don't mean no harm, man.
But I heard a similar story. One of the guys from Flatbush Zombies was on, I think, the Rap Radar podcast, and he said he ran up on Spike Lee in Flatbush or somewhere, and Spike was not showing him no love. So now that goes against his credit, too. You know what I mean? So,
no doubt, man. Maybe he was tall too, man. Spike might not.
Maybe.
Unless you Jordan. You know what I'm saying? You ain't no Jordan. Fuck you.
Man, fucking way. What else is good, man?
Shit. So with these, these deliver meals and shit.
Oh, you talking about these meals in a box?
Yeah, I'm into that though.
Like Blue Plus. Are you into it?
I haven't done it.
But, I haven't done it either. But, I'm kind
of
curious.
But I'm the type of person that need that kind of shit.
I think I'm that type of person. I feel like because I'm always last minute with, damn, what should I eat, right?
Right.
And I wind up buying some bullshit via delivery. But this is the thing. I think I'm the type of person that, I'll be excited about the meal. And then when that shit comes to me and it needs to be cooked, I don't really want to do that shit.
As a parent and shit, you're going to have to do some cooking.
Okay.
But see, again, just like with myself. I ain't gonna think about that shit until I'm already hungry. The kids already jumping up and down, like, what's up? What's for dinner? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm in the middle of some shit. I got about 3-4 things going on. You know what I'm saying? You might not have the time to be just thinking about what can I throw together.
Yeah.
So my default, you know what I'm saying, is always, I could make a quick spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which becomes redundant.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then I don't want to eat the shit, you know what I'm saying, after a while.
Okay.
If somebody just say, oh, here are the ingredients, okay, that's all you got to do, you know what I'm saying? That makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. It makes it a lot easier if you went to what they throwing you. Because this is the thing, like, I've looked at some of these.
You don't get to choose?
I mean, you might get, it's a limited selection of what you could choose from. So it might be some shit, Chilean carp.
Oh.
Or something that you like, I'm never gonna cook. I've never even considered this shit, but I done paid for it. Let me see what this is about. It goes from being dinner to damn near a science project.
Science project, damn blind date with food.
Exactly. Who knows what's gonna happen?
I've been on Whole Foods be having some prepared scenarios. It's actually
prepared already. They did the cooking.
You know what I'm saying? All you gotta do is put it in the oven, warm it up. It has a little pack, like, you know what I'm saying? They had like a pasta and chicken or like a spaghetti and meatball scenario. And just gotta put that shit in the oven. I go to those quick because it feed everybody nice.
Yeah.
And this shit like $11. I'm like, word.
Budget.
That shit is better than fast food. Because by the time you got 5 people to feed, at least 3 kids and yourself, if my wife at work. Nigga, that's $40 at the McDonald's, $30-something. Yeah. So
Popeye's got that $5 box going on right now.
You can't fuck with the Popeye's.
That should kill you, but you know.
You'll be under budget. You'll
be dead to the motherfucker, but you could afford that funeral.
But shit, I'm so bad. I was like, shit, I might need to order me some of that Soylent shit.
Who?
Soylent. You ever heard that shit?
I think I've seen it. It's like soy mint, soy milk.
Nah, it's like a motherfucking, some Silicon Valley ass motherfucker who, you know, be coding and shit.
Some old Silicon Valley ass motherfucker that be coding.
He be coding and shit. You know what I'm saying? Nigga ain't got time to be cooking. Okay. When you coding and you broke and shit. You trying to get that startup going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You first day in the wild. They came up with a formula because, you know, he was in one of them situations. He got a whole bunch of roommates. They coding and trying to get a startup. He's like, you know what I'm saying? He broke the shit down scientifically. What do I need to, what nutrients do I need every day to basically survive and thrive as a human? And
it's not like a coding.
Yeah, definitely hacked. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Who says that? Who breaks the shit down to the nutrients?
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? He basically hacked this shit to where
nutrients
he ordered all of the nutrients in various forms.
Where you order nutrients? Nutrient.com?
They got everything out there in the world, man.
I gotta get my nutrient plug. Yeah, go ahead.
So he built a little concoction of, you know, with powdered nutrients and shit and made a fucking drink that he could drink. And it'll, you know what I'm saying, be a whole motherfucking situation.
He made a nutriment.
But to the next level.
Okay.
Like some shit you're supposed to be able to live off of.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so supposedly this shit, you know, this shit is flying off the shelves. Everybody into it.
How much it cost?
I don't know.
It can't be too expensive.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they got it. You know, they trying to make it like, you know, everybody's the Uber or everything. So they got a subscription model. To the shit
called Solvent,
Soylent. Yeah, the name come from some movie where they was making the shit and people was in the future was living off the shit.
That shit sound crazy.
And they found out it was made of dead people and shit. But
oh, word.
that's where the name come from. But anyway, I was like, shit, that's some shit that I actually need. Don't look like it tastes good.
I don't know if I could drink a meal. Like if I drink a meal, it don't feel like a meal.
No, it's not. But you know what I'm saying? In that. I just wanted to try the shit just to, you know what I'm saying?
See what it's about.
Be in that situation. I never commit to it, but just when you're in those situations where you have got yourself into a quandary of, damn.
I'm hungry as shit.
I'm really about to just eat some fucking Crown Chicken.
Yeah.
Which is
some bullshit.
Which is
worse
than Popeye.
Yeah.
Man. Damn. You know what I'm saying? At least, can I get some nutrients and shit?
Let me look online, see what my nutrient. Where's my nutrient shake?
You know what I'm saying? It's just like for me, if by the time when I all the way figure it out, my first luxury gonna be somebody to cook for me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I interviewed Dame Dash, which was actually the cover that I pivoted to when we was in that situation.
Uh-huh.
And when we was interviewing Dame. He had a chef.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He had the diabetes, you know what I'm saying? So so the chef, you know what I'm saying?
And the diabetes.
You know, in the black community.
The sugar.
You don't it ain't real until it got the in front of it.
Or an S at the end of it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The, you got if your business ain't got the in front of it, your shit ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta respect this. You gotta respect this ailment. This is the diabetes.
The diabetes, the Walmart, the essence, the vibes, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You get the, you done made it.
Uh-huh.
But you know what I'm saying? You could tell he working just like how I work. You know what I'm saying? You just plowing through the shit. You ain't thinking about shit. But then at a certain point, the chef just break in like, hey.
Time for you to eat.
Time to eat. You know, here it is. Whoop, take the shit off.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I need that shit in my life, man.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Because that would happen to me, and it'll be a whole situation.
So that's your ultimate luxury?
That ain't the ultimate, but that's the first.
The first. What would be your first joint, Chris? If you get...
I actually like the personal chef idea. That's pretty
personal
nice.
Personal chef is pretty good.
That's cool.
I like a driver, though. No, I wouldn't mind a driver. You know what I mean? A driver's kind of mean, especially during the day in New York City.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I wish I had a motherfucker just to sit in the car while I just, you know what I mean? Run up here and handle some business. That's what I'm thinking, but I would love to have a driver. That would be kind of fresh.
I think the driver is going to be one of my last two luxuries. Oh, damn. You know what I'm saying? Mm. When I get old, I just want somebody to come through and ride me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Just to be out in the world a little bit. You know,
just take you around, yeah, keep you in the streets.
Yeah, just, you know, let's go see some shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't want to sit up in this motherfucking house.
So you want to be like the old dude that's still in the wheelchair that they be pushing around. He don't really talk no more, but he just see it all.
I hope I don't be in a wheelchair.
I ain't mean it like that, but you know, like, after a while, when people live for a long time,
I want to talk. I want to be out in the world. I'm thinking more like Quincy Jones than
whatever somebody. Because there's those cats. You see it. You see them cats that, you know, they still living, but they ain't really living. But they on set. They there. They around.
Right, they seeing
everything, and everybody respect them. What up, Pop? You good?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm talking about vibrant. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
you're
going to be up in the moment.
Yeah, I want to have a conversation with you. You know what I mean? Get some of that young energy. You know what I mean? Okay, young blood. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm thinking more Quincy Jones with it.
All right. I liked your podcast back in the day.
Nah.
Nobody want to be that, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Can't turn.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's terrible.
Nah, but even if I'm like that, you know what I'm saying, I still want the luxury of being able, you know what I'm saying, something come through and ride me out, man.
Yeah.
Let's ride out for a second.
Let's go around, see what's popping.
You know, that last luxury is that home health aid.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't have to send your ass
to the hospital.
To the home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let me die at my house.
Yeah. Shit.
You know what I'm saying? That's the last luxury nigga.
Hopefully you get a patient one, because some of them they be beating on the older people. You know that shit. You see them little, behind the scenes. That's what big.
You're going to put me with the worst of the worst.
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is
fucking up a vision.
Prepare for the worst.
Fucking up a vision. I'm talking about.
My bad.
Little nice one. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mr. Muhammad, how you doing?
Okay. All right, now. You want a vixen? You want an Instagram model?
Not like that.
Some scrubs on.
I want my home health nurse to be.
Okay.
I want my home health nurse to be like them old bartenders from back in the day. That know you drink, come in.
Oh, like a bar maiden?
Hey, baby. Okay. You want your regular?
Yeah.
I'm on my regular. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Real hip. Cool.
Real hip, real cool. Know your shit. Know how to treat a motherfucker coming through the door. Customer service on point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Make you want to spend some more money up in there.
Okay.
That's like that. You know what I'm saying? Ain't shit got to be the prettiest of them all.
Just got to have
good energy by the side.
Good energy. There you go. You know I can dig it. I hear that shit.
Damn. Fucking up my old age vision.
No, I just seen too many videos of like some old, you know.
That's what I'm trying to prepare against.
Yeah, you don't want that. That old people abuses. Ooh, it's terrible. Anyway, that's a downer.
Only because you made it one.
Listen, man, I can't tell y'all what kind of space I'm going to be in when I do this sometimes, man. I've been thinking a lot of negative shit. But it is, I don't know, man. I'm fucking.
Like what?
Not negative shit, but you know, I'm just, I don't know, man.
You on your Larry David, your Barry David moments.
Man, I'm just out here living life and looking at it through a different lens sometimes.
No doubt. Man, you need that lens sometimes.
Yeah. You got to, but you know. You gotta be careful about your lenses, because you want your vision. You want your vision to be, you know, forward. You understand?
Nigga, sound like a jazz cat,
dude. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I just really slowed the cadence down because I didn't know where I was going with what I wanted to
like,
say.
Like you was about to hit the J.
When you make it sound deliberate,
yeah. You know, if you want your vision,
I was exactly like you hitting it. You know what I mean? I was watching Dick Gregory on The Breakfast Club, and he's a legend. He's an icon.
See, he's still around.
He's still around, but Dick Gregory will give you a little bit of the meanders. You know what I mean? But he going to give you. But the thing is, he's an OG, so you got to give it the respect.
No doubt.
But it's like, you know, when you're trying to follow along, and you like, well, what? All right, now, wait a minute. This is the third tangent. And they hit you with the, huh? Hit you with that to make sure you're paying attention. Huh?
Hey.
Hey,
but when you fucking with them OGs like that, that's how I know I'm going to be one of them. When you fucking with them,
mm-hmm.
and they go on them tangents, the best shit be in them tangents.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the wrinkle in the story.
When you talk about them OG, they'll give you all the good shit. Like, damn, that's what happened? We was in Paris, you know what I'm saying, 1964, and, you know, we ran into, you know what I'm saying, such and such a them over there.
Well, that's good when the tangent pay off.
Yeah.
Sometimes the tangent just lead to,
you know,
just the end of a regular, just,
yeah, you guys just ain't got no patience.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't want you around when I'm old. Not no nigga, no young nigga like
get
you.
Get to the point.
Yeah, get this nigga out of here. I'm saying,
when you old, you don't got the patience like that. If you don't get this motherfucker, he is killing my vibe. I'm
saying, give me the you know what I'm saying, the inquisitive young motherfucker.
Hilarious. Come through here. Ah, shit, man. Shout out to AI. Shout out to Shaquille O'Neal.
No
Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal being inducted in the NBA man. Hall of Fame.
AI.
Yao Ming as well.
Hey, ain't nobody think about that.
No, but you know, Yao Ming.
AI must have, he had to, you know what I'm saying? Because it could have went a totally different way for AI. You know what I'm saying? When they shipped his ass out of the NBA.
To Turkey?
When he, you know, went to Turkey and all that, he didn't retire in the NBA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He could have, you know what I'm saying, not have been
prestigious. They could have
shit on him, not put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Somehow, you know what I'm saying, they let him come back. Remember they let him come back to sign on to Philly?
Oh, right, he retired from
Philly.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Somebody left the door open for him.
Looked
out. Was a good look, you know what I'm saying? Because the man deserved it. You know
he played. He played with all his heart. That motherfucker would throw his whole shit at. Like, he would go hard. You can't, you know, so that's the least you could do is give that man back the same love that he gave the game.
But a lot of times when you don't play the game,
by their rules.
But
they got to respect the fact that he changed the game, too, because he definitely at least changed the sensibility of the game.
No doubt. He changed a lot of shit in the game. But a lot of times when you don't play along.
Yeah.
He was able to not play along, do that shit his way, and still, you know what I'm saying, get the props in the end.
I think the NBA might be a little bit more forgiving than like Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, boy, they seem like they hold grudges.
Like a motherfucker.
They ain't fucking with you.
I think all sports hold grudges. I'm just saying, like, he made it through, man.
Yeah, he did it, man.
He made it through. He changed the game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He made it. You know what I'm saying? They changed a lot of rules because of this cat. You know what I'm saying? They enforced the dress code because of him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They created the dress code. That's why LeBron and all the niggas became fashion icons. And
right.
Because of the dress code change.
That also opened up for Jay-Z to do change clothes and get everybody in them big ass Robert Graham button downs.
No doubt. And that, and it opened the lane for a lot of those stylists that was working with the artists to pivot to NBA. That's why all these cats looking like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you playing 80 some games and you ain't got time to shop. That's why cats had them six-button suits. Like just
six-button
like,
suits, man, whatever, sipping on soy.
Whatever the nigga came through the locker room with, you know what I'm saying? Yo, we got them suits, man. Let me measure you up.
He got him hustling like it's a barbershop. Yeah, he got real DVDs and long-ass suits. Yeah,
you know it was a suit, man, came through the NBA. It's the same one that invented the six-button suit.
Oh, man. I think it's time to transform and roll out, man.
Hey, man. Let's do it.
Where you going to be at, man?
I'm going to be at the damn lab. I done repainted my office, did it over, man. I'm excited about it. So I'm going to be up in that motherfucker cranking out the new site. You know what I'm saying? Getting prepared for the launch.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then this Friday, I'm going to be in the Casablanca celebrating.
For what? Oh, celebrating your 10 years?
All right. Shit, I'm going to be in the Casablanca, so if y'all want to come through, check me out. I'm at the Casablanca in Bed-Stuy on Malcolm X at the corner of McDonough and Malcolm X.
Oh, shit.
So, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to have no stage or no mic.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be up in there.
Talking your shit, though.
I'm going to be talking my shit, holding down a corner.
10 years strong.
That's what's up.
Well, listen, if you listening to this on release day, I'm going to be at Stand Up New York tonight at 8 o'clock. And then for the people outside of New York, specifically those people in Arlington, Texas, I'm going to be at the Arlington Improv on April 29th that weekend. I'm going to put up the ticket link on DamianLemon.com. And, catch me there. You know what I mean? We're going to have a good time. But as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Thank you for the conversation.
All right, we out.
Thing of it all is to be in the conversation.